Amen. So we're so grateful to God for everything God does for us. You know, we do not take them for granted, right? We do not take them for granted. We thank God for the blessing of fellowship. You know, as a people of God, we must always exalt the whole counsel of God. You know, regardless of the season we find ourselves. So at times, if God is, let's maybe assume, maybe God is speaking to us about our individual lives. Now, as much as God is so much interested in your individual life, there's the other side of his counsel that is so much interested in all of his children. And vice versa. You know, if God is emphasizing, let's say maybe, you know, our coming together, local assembly, you know, it's not de-emphasizing another counsel of his. Hallelujah. So as God's children, you know, we have to, there's a mastery in looking for and understanding that God doesn't, regardless of what the emphasis is, God has put equal weight on his old counsel. So it's, for example, you know, there could be a particular focus in church like this. Like when we come to church, maybe we're talking about something or some subjects. That doesn't invalidate what God is speaking to you as individual. At times, the way we rob ourselves is you can leave one for the other, which shouldn't be. You say, okay, because God is saying we have arrived. But is he telling me in my closet that you have not stood up? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a skill that the Holy Ghost has to help us with, you know, that we can... You can embody the old counsel of God. You know, it's just like when you have a father that just before you left the house, he looked at you in a way, and it was because you didn't do a chore. But when you got to the party, he saw that he was laughing with you. You know, you can behave in two ways. You can either flow with his laughter that Papa has forgotten and forgiven. Or you can have that mood, the mood that This one that my dad is stylo. The rod is still behind him. You understand? So, you know, a lot of us didn't master, you know. It's skill to actually be joyful with daddy outside and knowing that there's still issue on the table. Yeah, it's serious skill. Some of us would do well with, we flow with either. You know, some of us might not even enjoy the party because you know that there's trouble at home. Whereas some people will completely forget, which would even escalate the trouble. You know, imagine like because you now rejoice too much, the trouble has, the punishment has increased by two. You understand what I'm saying now? That the whole counsel of God is a thing. And that's a practical example, you know, God speaking to you, you know, in your personal altar with God, your personal devotion with God, and God speaking to us collectively, or maybe at times even as a nation, or maybe as your family, you know, I mean your biological family, you know, or maybe a group of people that God has connected you with. It doesn't invalidate, God doesn't de-emphasize any other conversation, you know, until he says so. You understand? Until God says, on that particular issue, it is no longer a thing. Yeah, don't assume that him speaking a lot about one subject has wiped out. You know, that's how some of us chopped extra cane. Like, we just thought they'd forgotten. But as we were just getting comfortable, we just got like a dose of Abara. And then we said, ah, mommy, I thought you have forgiven and forgotten the issue. The one I don't like is that one, they will come and wake you up midnight. That one is, I don't think that thing is heavenly. I think it's from the kingdom of, no, let me say the kingdom. It's not from the kingdom of God. When they wake somebody in the middle of sleep with cane, I don't think there's nowhere I can back it up that is, please, if you're a parent, don't do that. Please. Like, don't plan that when he sleeps, you know, the cane, like, that's how devil plans. Like, I'll catch him like this. No, I'm serious. Like, I don't think God plans like that. I don't think he's heavenly. I can't say maybe scriptural, but I don't think heaven is happy the way you executed that beating that way. You know, it will look like you perfected it. But really, I don't think, as God is raising us as parents, please, there are some things we should not be looking forward to do. That's one, actually. You know, everybody will eat. You know, you go and they will give you 2 meats. You go and sleep. Then you don't even know whether they are flogging from the dream or from real life. So it's all mixed. So we'll be very skillful in holding the old counsel of God. You know, there's a gift that we've received today, not because of any activity. I mean, from God today. And you know, God is really happy with us. Let me put it that way first. Yeah, there's a gift. You know, when you make someone who has gifts happy, he would give out of his goods, out of his, you know, riches. He would give to you. And that's why we should be, as a person, you should always look forward to making God happy. Like, you are looking forward to it. Like you are thinking that, how can I make God happy? Some people think it's impossible. Like, it's not a thought for some. Some people just want to ensure they don't sin. Like, they don't want to get on his bad side. But some people are planning to be on his good side. As much as you want to be on maybe the bad side, you know, as much as you're planning not to, you can actually be planning, you know. Like, okay, what would excite him today? What would make him happy? You know, what would give him pleasure today? And all those things, they matter to God as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't hear our amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, tonight is, it's like we've done, it's like I'm going to be preaching from what God has done. I'm not going to be preaching so that God will do something. My intention before was, you know, after I had preached, God would do something in our heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's not where I'm preaching. I'm not preaching to. Now I'm preaching from. So the it's like we're doing retro. It's like we finish the service, then we're going to retro the service. So that you can really experience, you know, when he says, thy will be done on earth. Something has been done in heaven already about this service. We'll trust God to guide us. So it's more or less like a script now. So we'll trust God to guide us as we go in the little time that we have left. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the beautiful thing about what I just said now is none of us need to struggle. I mean, even including myself. None of us need to struggle. We'll just come from what he has done already. Can we look at 1 Peter chapter 2? I think 2:2. Let's start from there and... Okay, let's start from verse 1. And therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Now, sorry, go back there. Now, all these things that Apostle Peter mentioned here, they're very terrible things that you most likely we can say that they shouldn't even be mentioned amongst us, like malice. We know the category of these are works of the flesh. You know, these are things that when it says every evil work thrives there, this is not a good place. But it says that lay aside it, you know, or laying aside every malice. You know, this also looks very close to Hebrews. It says, seeing that we are surrounded by a great cloud of what? Witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and everything. Now, your Christianity must not outgrow the ability to lay something. Meaning, you should not be too heavy that you are now burdened. You can't lay down. Do you get my point? So, for example, you know, maybe something you picked up, whether innocently, sincerely, or something you didn't really consider that would be a big deal. You know, as a child of God, you shouldn't be too yoked with anything that it is impossible to lay down when God, you know, comes to you, or when the word of the Lord comes to you. So as children of God, we have the skill to lay aside. As much as we can take up, we can also lay down. That we have, we don't, you know, devil is not so, he's not going to say he has won because something has jumped on us. Because we still have the power to lay it aside. Or we have the grace to lay it aside. So the battle is not over that it came on. You know, at times, to finish a thing, just have that thing on someone. For example, maybe a terminal virus. It's just to be infected. But things, even with God, that you're infected does not mean you die. That's what I'm like. You can drop it off. So there's nothing, and these are written to believers. Do you get? Or this was written to believers. So there's nothing that, you know, at times the shock or the shocker for many people and why they are not able to confess their fault to one another or admit fault or come to repentance is because they were too, you know, it's like, how would they say that this thing was on me? Like, that's the trouble of, like, how would they say that I have malice? So there's no opportunity to lay it down. Because there's an arrogance already on, I've picked it up. You know those people that when something terrible happens, rather than let it go, they want to bring order into the destruction. You understand what I'm saying? You know those people that say, you know, rather than, you know, kill myself, I'll kill like 25 people, join. You understand? Like, death is already on you. But rather than let the death go, you know, you don't want to quickly admit that, I'm in a wrong state now. But rather, you know, go and carry gun and go and do mass. Now, that guy that carried gun to go and do mass shooting, death is already on. Death has licked him up. It's probably his physical body that is just left. But Bible says we have the grace to lay anything that shouldn't have jumped on us. Now, as much as we would say that, you know, Father, whatsoever you have not planted, you know, uproot. Now, that's what the Father would do. But the one you can do is to lay aside. You can, you know this Christianity thing is very balanced. You can't guilt trip God. You can say, God, the reason why I'm like this is because, you know, you quickly go and look for Apostle Paul's own, you know. And you didn't even pray three times. You blamed God three times. Yeah, at times, you know, that's the deceitfulness of sin, where you absolve yourself of the responsibility God has put in your hand. Actually, that's also what is called the mystery of iniquity. It means iniquity can be with you and you won't see any responsibility to do anything about it. Let's go back to 1 Peter. So can we say we have the grace to lay aside?
We have the grace to lay aside.
Yeah. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. No, go back there to verse 1. You know, deception can be in, it has variance. Now, it's God's grace that would help us to spot all deception. You know, there are times when maybe after like a year or two, you just figured out that there was something you were doing before, that you just figured out you quickly say that I've grown. But the reason why you say you've grown is because there was something stupid that you were doing before. Yeah. You get, but when you were doing it, it made sense. But after you add some growth, in quotes, you ever say, for example, there's some people now that are in church, very fervent, but some years back, they were chasing them to come to church. Yeah. I mean, literally, like, they would do mini-money more for Sunday. Like, mini-money, should I go to the field? Should I come to church? But now, you are like Olusho. You know Olusho now. You are in the temple. Like there's no come rain, come shine. You are in the temple. Now that thing was deception then. But it didn't. This is one prayer that a believer should always pray, that God help me to spot and lay aside all deception. All deceptions. See, deceptions are the voice of Satan, yet resident in the soul. That's deception. So if you want to say, I'm struggling to hear Satan. If you, like the way people say, I don't know the voice of the Lord, blah blah blah. You know, yeah. If you're saying, I'm not sure I hear Satan, but yeah. If there are deceptions in the soul, then you can hear Satan. All deceptions are the brainchild of all disobediences. Wow. Like there's no disobedience you would ever come to that is not backed by deception. All disobediences, they are locked inside one Satan whining you know. And so I don't want us to just run away from here, but I want us to know that there's work here. Even before you get to verse 2, which is a very gracious scripture or a gracious verse. Every deception. See, by the time we're able to knock out all deception, that your temple or you as an individual, you would have achieved, I mean scripturally, what the Bible says, you would have come to judge all disobediences. Your obedience is now complete. Don't go there. But we know that place when they talked about Jesus, right? It says that it will come to what? To judge all disobediences after his obedience is complete. So you wouldn't allow, you know, any area of our lives to be ceded to devil's deception. And there are many deceptions. There are many, many. Some of them, they are appearing as light. No. At times, some of them is the way we, is what rules our perspective. For example, there's a whole lot of deception that is ruling humanity from the idea of money. And there's just a way you behave when it's money. There's just a different way. Like, you just behave differently. You know, it's when we talk money that we know that Nigeria is a low trust market. Like, we just group ourselves like this, both the believers, unbelievers, say it's a low trust, meaning we don't trust ourselves. That's what low trust market means. We don't trust ourselves. But it's the deception that is in the heart of both the believer, the unbeliever, that the believer is not knocking out. Unbeliever obviously is helpless. So it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceptions, or all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, whether it's speaking with the mouth or speaking with the heart. Now, I remember, one of the laying aside, I had to lay aside, is this all evil speaking? Because growing up as a child, I was a jester. You know jesters now? Like, if you want to pick people to do your mama, you know that battle? Like, they want to yab, this one want to yab. You know, your head is as kiniko, as... Actually, I always tell people that the way my wife knew me, that I was existing on the surface of the earth. Like that, you know, some people, you've not seen them before, so you don't know they exist. So the way I came into existence was in a class. I yapped someone, and everybody looked back. Like, it wasn't that they were looking at the person that yapped, but they are looking at the person that was yapped. Like, who did they exterminate now? Yeah, that was how she knew me, that I existed. But I had never met her. I didn't know her, you know. Yeah, when it like, everybody just turned back. Like, eh? So when I gave my life to Christ, I think it's in Timothy, where he says, you know, let your words be seasoned with grace. I was there for like 3 weeks or more. Like, that was what the Holy Spirit was dealing with me on. Because I was coming from all evil speaking. All. Like, it was... Like, literally, they can, if they are doing, like, you want to pick, you know that battle, if you want to pick, if you don't pick me, you have lost. Like, and primary school, secondary school, you know, until I gave my life to Christ. It's like if there was a job that was, I can easily apply. I could have easily passed for someone that will not fail. In that regard. And so whether it's the evil speakings in the mouth or the evil speakings in the heart. Now, I don't want us to necessarily dwell on which one is more, but both speak. Do you understand?
Yes.
Both speak. The heart speaks. The mouth speaks. And that's why the two of them must agree to salvation.
Yes.
Before salvation can happen, the two of them must agree. So it's not just your mouth that will confess. It's your heart. Your heart too must join. It's because both of them speaks. Both of them confess. And that's why God also looks at both.
Yes.
You know, it's deception for you to say, God only checks the heart, only checks the heart, only checks the heart. No. God checks your heart and your mouth. If he doesn't check the mouth, he wouldn't desire praises in the lips of babes. I mean lips, actual lips. So the heart speaks, the mouth speaks. And that is where, you know, that's where he said, you know, who can imagine the desperation of the heart? He says the heart is desperately what? Wicked. Can anyone what? Know it. So when the evil heart speaks, it's evil speaking. When the evil mouth speaks, they are evil mouths. Yeah. Because evil mouths are they've used for example, someone that curse, that's evil mouth. You know, curse or swear, you know. And I mean curse as per ekbe. Not curse as per maybe even word or foul language, you know. So you can see here that, you know, you waking up in the middle of the night that you want to come and curse maybe your president, you are doing evil speaking. You know, somebody posted something on, you know, I've not really been following much about the politics and all that, but I think something recently, you know, every day is revelation. I don't know when we'll give up and just move on, honestly, you know. And so I think something happened recently, and the person was saying that, you know, let's scatter everything, so that they will really take us serious. And I was asking myself that is a believer, I believe. And I was asking myself, this is evil speaking, because if everything is scatter, you can't do it. Like if everything is scatter. And a lot of times, the naivety of an evil heart is that when things spoil, I'll find myself out, which is not true. You know, the evil heart is also a learner. Like, he does not know even what his heart can cause. That's why when the person that kills one does it, he will be trying to imagine that. How did I take knife and do this? Like, he's lost in the possibility in the soul. Or in the heart. And so when he says, let's just scatter everything so that they will know that they will take us serious. Now, when everything scatters, which it won't, can you say amen?
Amen.
The evil heart can't stay. Is even the righteous that will not be laboring over what has been scattered. And so evil speaking. You know, gossip is also one of this evil speaking. Gossip. Slander, you know. And many others, you know. That's not what we are looking at today. So let's go to verse 2. It now says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the what? Yeah, KJV says sincere milk that you may grow thereby. So growth is possible when two things happen. When we lay aside and when we desire sincere milk, or when we desire pure milk. Now, I think if you're a student of the Bible, pure milk or sincere milk of the word is not a lesser part of the word. So if you're a true child of God, you know, there's no part in your father's house that is less significant. So there's the word of God, there's no little part of it, and there's no serious part of it. Revelation is no more serious than Songs of Solomon. You can see how wide part it is, Abby. Because some of you have never read Songs of Solomon. It's like, maybe when I want to marry, that's when I go there. It's not. Revelation is not more deep. See, when you read a book like Watchman's book on Song of Songs, it was an exegesis of Song of Solomon. You know that Song of Solomon is tougher than Revelation. When you read Watchman's book on Song of Songs, you say that, Song of Songs. You will not be thinking romance. You know the way people say Song of Solomon is romance? No. By the time you read that book, you want to read that book after Revelation.
Yeah.
Yes, that's so. There's no part of the scripture that is. Some of us misunderstood this part, and so we were not desiring the milk of the word anymore. Now, some even take this and compare it with Hebrews, where it talked about strong meat. Now, Jesus loves you can represent any of those things. Because it will be two-edged. That's his word. You can hear that word and you'll be like, and you can hear that word and be like, Now, it's what the word does to you that is relative. It has a perfect outcome, which is you'll be a changed man. But the process it might take you to through will be different from the other person. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. So we use the two scriptures against themselves. So we run to this one when you know that you are the all evil speaking. You are still the area chairman. Yeah. Let's go back there. So it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. I only wanted to read just verse 2 there. Let us go to Luke chapter 3. But before then, let's go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Then we'll come to Luke chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like, go back to verse 1. Let me quickly just point something out so that we read with that. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Now, we could easily liken this to the experience of John coming in the spirit of Elijah, right? To forerun Jesus. So let's go to verse 2. I just wanted to say that before. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like the launderer's soap. Now, all those things that we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, this is why we desire him to come. He says he is like the refiner's fire. Now, what the refiner does with fire is to purify gold, right? What the launderer does with soap is probably perhaps to wash maybe a cloth that is dirty, to make it, you know, that's why he says to turn it from, make it from scarlet to maybe or red as crimson and make it white as snow. That's the work of the launderer soap. So they will wash, and what's dirty before is now made clean. Or what was not fine before, what was dirty, can now be made, please go back, can now be made fine. He says, when he comes, he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be swift. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, right? Against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Just hold on there. So there's an experience that the prophet here was describing, that when Jesus comes, he says, who can stand the day of his appearance? Now, that question in itself is, when he appears, something happens. That is like just setting an expectation that his appearance is not ordinary. When he appears, when he comes into a place, there are two operations that were likened to his appearance here. He says, when he comes, he takes everything that is dearth in us and then blazes fire on it, so that hopefully you will be refined, you'll be purer, and you'll be able to offer sacrifices in righteousness. Then he also says, like, the experience also would look as though you are being washed. You know, I think some of us, I think every one of us should know that place where it talked about, you know, the washing of the water by the word. So when he comes, because he's also the word, right? So when he comes, the utmost reality is that we can offer sacrifices in righteousness. That's the reward for us. That at the end of his coming, we would have experienced the fire. Now, the experience of the fire is not as easy as the way I'm saying it. Do you get? It's what God can only do and can only explain to you. Now, a lot of people want him to come, but don't want him to be the refiner's fire or to be the launderer's soap. Like, we love him to come, but we forget that when he comes, his father's business in that place is that sacrifices must be offered to his father in righteousness. Now, the reason why you would desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby, is so that after you've laid aside all those stuff, you would have been refined. You would have been washed. Then this, so the growth is not, I've grown in God. Is that you have now come into a priesthood office where you can now offer sacrifices to God. Now, with all those baggage, they will pull you out from the holies of holies. You know that experience now? You just die. You know, that's why they always tie rope on their leg. Except for perhaps, if he forgets to atone for one of his sins and he gets knocked, they will pull him out with the rope. A lot of people are being pulled out because they don't understand that his game plan is, when I come, you agree that I will be the refiner's fire and I'll be the launderer's soap. You agree. A lot of people don't sign that. When they read the terms of agreement, they don't read this part. They just say, come so that we can offer sacrifices. But they don't know that the game plan is romance. My brethren, I beseech you therefore that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That sacrifice, you being a priest in that order, is that he's coming, but he will do two things, or all of his operation with you, so that every experience that looks like things that will disqualify you from being the right priest, or being someone that will be disabled in the priesthood office, they will be taken away. Because those are the weights that will incapacitate you from fulfilling your priesthood assignment. Bible says we are kings and priests, right?
Yes.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So look at, just follow me this evening, you know. Honestly, I promise that I was going to talk about something else. And I'm talking about something else already. And so when it comes, when we look forward to his appearing or his appearance, you know, that's why it says that, you know, we don't know what we shall become, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Now, when he appears, now this is one of his two. Because he's the high priest after the order of what? Melchizedek. So these sacrifices that are offered in righteousness to God is the Ogapatapata.
Yes.
Because he too has been tried. He didn't count it robbery to be equal with God, but he considered himself to be. Let's go to Philippians. No, it's before this. You know, who being in the form of God did not consider it what? Robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This was the experience he went to by which he obtained a more excellent name, and then he became the high priest of our calling. Am I boring tonight? like I said, we are just walking back. I'm telling us what he has done for us. That's what I'm teaching, what he has done. It would have been very easy to just say, God has done this, hallelujah, then we're going to look at the two other types of great grace that God is. That's what I wanted to teach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so when it comes like the refiner's fire, it will do the work of refining in our hearts. It will wash us. It will wash us. It will wash us. It will wash us. But we too will stay true to our commitment. We would have the grace to lay aside. Because it's as in a mirror. You know, it's like when you're trying to dress up and you see that whatever you're putting on is not, you see it, but you have the responsibility to adjust it. It says, as in a mirror. So it's not the mirror that will adjust the gele for you. The mirror has shown you, he has done the spotlight. Then you adjust. So that adjusting is the work that we are doing in 1 Peter 2:1, where we have the grace to lay aside. We have the grace to lay aside. We have the grace to lay aside. As he's saying, Lalu, that thing is heavy. I can lay it aside. Because when his fire is coming, he's giving you the grace to see deceptions, things you can't see before. You know, how many of you have, maybe this is just with the male, how many of you have had a gin that was until you put inside water to wash, you knew how dirty it was? He said, yes, sir. No, I agree. Because, yeah, most of the male, when we were very, very young, many years ago. How many of you know, what do we always call? No, it's not wash and wear. But there's one nickname we always give to that. You just pick a gin and spray water, clean it, iron. No, it's not rubbish. Rubbish is your body. And so it's until, you know, that gin, when he enters water, the way you see the dirty, it's as if they're washing rug. So until that gin entered water, nobody knows that it's dirty. Actually, nobody. I don't know how they made gin that way. And that's why your life must not be like that of a gin. It must be like wool, where if it's dirty, we quickly know. If you're a gin, you'll just be fine. You think everything is... You'll be able to do a lot. You know, gin can carry a lot. It can go for days. Actually, those are the younger ones talking. I can... Now, we have laid that aside. Yeah. Is it teenagers that we have to be... That's a way to, if you don't know. There's no pride in not washing a gin. There's no pride. Actually, gin has gone through stuffs. It's the least to be washed. Like, even just... Because it could be a bit hard to wash. By the time you wear it once, you're like, which one is laundry? Angry Joe. Even at times when rain beats you on, it doesn't yet deserve to be washed for some. You spread under the sun. Let it get dry. You know. But after maybe you've used it, you know, you've gone to a door with it, you came back again, you know, you've gone for evangelism, you don't. Hallelujah. And so when it comes, the refiner's fire would I want us to know that whenever Jesus comes to us, he's not intending to leave us the same. Many a times, a lot of people know that, but they don't actually even know what he always intends to do. At times, some believers feel, when Jesus comes, he does what he just wants to do. No, what he intends to do is always what he has done before. And we can always find it in the scripture. That when he comes, when he appears, when he comes into a city, there are things he does. And you must also see, whenever you say that, God came to me in my sleep today, tonight, yesterday, God appeared to me, in the dream, or when I was studying the word, the voice of the Lord. When he comes, there are things that he does when he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have the grace to lay aside. And as much as we are laying aside, because if you only lay aside and from laying aside you can offer sacrifices, then that's righteousness by works. Let me say that again. Thank God I didn't say this before we said all of this. You will lay aside though, but you will lay aside because he has appeared to you as a refiner's fire. You will lay aside because he has washed you. Yeah, because there's actually I can't remember their name again. I don't know, maybe they are the Stoic group. They are philosophical the height of their morality, as in how they hold themselves to chastity, morality, and all those things, is the highest you can find in humanity. But that has not led them to becoming priests to God. And this is where we must always understand the power of grace. It's you were saved by grace, not by works. So we'll lay aside, but we'll lay aside in the context that he has appeared to us. He has appeared to me to refine me. He has appeared to me to wash me. So it's like it's a dual operation that is happening at the same time. You wouldn't allow God appear to you, and you're not laying aside. Neither will you be trying to lay aside, and you're not looking forward to his appearance. You know, that's the prayer of Paul. When he says, I besought him to take this thing away. He's like, I know when you come and take this. Because I know when you come and you take this away, it's gone. Not, I will find my own way to drop this shugbon. And that's where we got the song from. Please don't sing that song, please. Please, not in this church. There's no shugbon anywhere. You should have understanding now. If you want to sing, you're on your own. That day, the spirit of Pisac is not with you. There's no shugbon kankan. You know, I thought there's some song you not remember. Like, people not to really buy into the loan. He said what? What did he say? Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. You dare not sing it with passion. And so we are not struggling or working hard to lay aside without knowing that his appearance enables us to lay aside. Even when you lay aside, you know you've received grace to do that. Yeah. You know, many a times your cheat code is that you acknowledgement is the cheat code of a believer. Yeah. For example, when something happens to you, say, I know God just did this. Now, even though he walked it through you, you sweated, blah, that acknowledgement is so gracious. Is your cheat code to always attribute everything to God. So as you are having grace to lay aside, you're not saying that, I figured it out. No. But you're acknowledging that his refiner's fire is the one that is causing there to be illumination in your heart. You're not saying, See, that when he comes, it's also what happened to Isaiah. He had not come. That's why he was saying, woe. Woe unto this one. Woe unto that one. Woe unto this. Then just let me stroll into the temple one day. Then they now woe. The one that has been shouting, woe, 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 woe. They now looked on him too. So it's until he comes. Because you might be thinking you know the things to lay aside. See, let me tell you why you can lay something aside. It's because God has put a distaste in your heart. See, that's actually what they call the mystery of iniquity. It's because it has an engine that connects with the flesh that brings sweetness. If it was bitter, all of us would have. Even before Jesus came, there's no need to do something that is not sweet. The reason why there's strife between the flesh and the spirit is because he also has a large crowd. He's giving satisfaction. He's desirable. And so when he comes, that's when he removes that. The appetite. And then you're able to like, this is this. At times, it's God that gives us grace to know a thing for what it is.
Yes.
It's God. And that's why I said, you know, that you, after a year or 2 years, you figure that, that thing that I was in. No, it's not mutidagba. It's not like I've grown. So I don't do those things. No, there are still people of your age that are still doing it. It has not appeared to them. They don't have a mirror in front of them. They've not been refined. So they don't have the capacity to lay aside. Which wouldn't have them become priests to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lastly, let's go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Let's start from... I'm coming, please. Are you being blessed?
Yes, sir.
Do we have people online watching? Can we ask them if they have been blessed as well? How do you ask? You just type there, Abby. Are you being blessed? Okay. God is so gracious to us tonight. Yeah, let's start from verse 16. Okay, so John was speaking here, but we can pick it up from here. So John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. Then he said what? One what? Mightier than me or than I is coming. Now, to connect it with Malachi, right? He said he was going to send a forerunner before he appears. Then who can stand, you know, his appearance? He says, John answered saying to all. You know, tonight I want us to come to an understanding of the operations of Jesus in your life. You know, understand what he does when he comes. Yeah, he brings gifts. You know, he comes to heal the heart. He comes to bring joy into the heart. You know, he comes to comfort. You know, he comes to bring words of encouragement. There are a lot of things that Jesus does when Jesus comes. Jesus and John answered saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 17. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Let's just stay here. Now, when the forerunner came, before the forerunner came, they said he will come as the forerunner. Then when the main guy comes, his experience is like the refiner's fire and the launderer's soap. Then when the foreigner came, gong, he said, they told you when I was coming that I will come and the person coming after. But me that I am coming after, before the person that will come, this is what I know that the person that is coming after me, this is what I know him has. He says he will come and he would deal with us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yeah. It says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. No, go to 17, please. Now, he says his winnowing fan is in his hand. So, he says in his hand, he has a fan. And with that winnowing fan, he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barns. But the chaff, he will burn. So, it wouldn't just be the winnowing experience. Now, the winnowing experience is like the washing experience, where you cause there to be separation between death and, yeah. You know, when you wash, you know, you can separate what was attached, the death that was attached to that material or that, or your body or whatever you're washing. You can use washing to separate it. That's what the word does. The word, when it comes to you, it washes you, then you can put aside. You can put aside, you can lay aside. He says his winnowing fan is in his hand. Now, I mean, the winnowing experience itself is when you take wheat, or let's use what we are more familiar with. I'm not sure if any one of us have seen where wheat is being processed before, but we've seen where bean is being processed. I mean, when it's in the chaff. And then, I'm having a sense that some people in this room have not seen bean in that shape, in that form before, because they've only bought bean from the prince. Where there's no. How many of you have eaten beans with kokoro inside? No, I'm not saying you did it because there was no option. I'm saying that you just had a sense that they said it's sweeter. How many of you? Now the number has dropped. Now you can see that the recongregation just raised up their hand. Now, me too, I struggle now to see bean actually in that pod form. You know, where it's inside a pod, then they break it and then pick out. We don't feel like they've done all this processing before they bring it to the market, right? But there was a time, even if you still go and buy it from the Igbo, you will still find it. Maybe they don't do it very well. Do you get? But if they give you the bean in the raw, what you have to do, you have to break the pod, get the bean out, and you know what they do? You shake it like this. Then you throw it up, then you do what? Now, so if you go study the winnowing, the job is when you are threshing, when you're breaking the bean from the pod. I'm using bean as, is wheat they used here to describe. When you've been able to remove some bean out, but there's bean and chaff inside, right? Now, you know, just like that Igbo guy would do and do like this, then throw it up, then blow. So that fan is for him to be able to remove out the chaff. Now, you don't have a fan. It's your mouth. You're obviously using. So for there to be separation, that's why he has that fan. When he's threshing, the wheat will still be mixed with the chaff. And so when whether it's that they throw it up or whatever, but the next action is that fan would then be used to get out the chaff. But the chaff will not go without due justice. Now, a lot of us could be fine with the chaff just being removed, you know, and you just go ahead with your bean, right? Go do what you have to do. But he says the chaff, He has a concern for the chaff. There's actually no value in the chaff, right? But he knows that the right judgment to the chaff is that it should be burnt. With unquenchable fire. He says he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. boys, his refiner's fire would also be met on the chaff. See, the experience God wants to give to us is when Jesus is done with us, it will be as though there was never chaff. You know, when you burn the chaff, it's like you are changing the, you want to get the chaff into a non-existent state. Yeah. Like it never existed. It's not like we packed it, then we went to dump it somewhere. There's a whole lot of the work of the Spirit that is locked up in this this verse 17. You know, the way Jesus wants to bring redemption to our life, or the way he's bringing redemption to our life, he's doing it with all care and precision that is without a remembrance of what has caused sorrow. You know, when God separates you from trouble, you don't have the trouble as placard, yeah, or as something to be hung on the wall. Oh God. You know now, you know? No. The chaffs are burnt. You know, at times, the life could still be a mix. You know, so many things happening. But the hope of that life that Jesus has visited is a life that there will be no connection between your ability to serve God and what had made you unable, or the thing that has caused the inability to serve God before. And so it would burn the chaff, it would gather the wheat, put it in the barn safely. But it won't spare the chaff. He doesn't want the wheat while he's yet in the barn, having this sense that I was taken out of, or something was taken out of me. You know, and that's why when people come to the faith, even we that we knew of their coming, we must be careful. Because Jesus has really, as in his plan and what he did and what he's doing for that person, is that chaff, yeah, is burned. I remember so many years ago, there was a lady that, I think a deliverance, the person that came to minister conducted deliverance. And so when they did the deliverance, like the lady was just manifesting. Like she was literally moving like a snake. I don't know, maybe it was Mami Water Spirit or Snake Spirit, or the person said it was one. The person has been initiated somewhere, blah blah blah, and then the person was manifesting. Now, to us, the member, the trouble just started, because before then, you know, ministerial cooler. How many of you know ministerial cooler? Some people have eaten ministerial cooler from her side. Meaning she has said, "Hey, bro, Taju, bro, Dupe, there's yam and egg." You took the yam and egg, you ate. So that day, we were creating the chaff. You can't go. That Jesus delivered you does not mean we have delivered you. So she now started a new, torment. And I was just like, this man of God should have used the wisdom. Because the man just said everything. Then even our own manifestation was correlating with what he was saying. I've never seen someone move that way before. I mean, I've not even seen, I've only watched Anaconda. And that the way Anaconda moves, that's the way she was. I'm like, I know this person now. It's just that I I can't even say maybe I've eaten Ministerial Kula for months. I couldn't even say. But my concern was, boy, people are going to hang trophy for this, bad trophy for this lady. So I got some guys that were in the prayer team. And I told them that, now we know that everybody will move away from this girl. Everybody. It's not them say. Some people have not seen someone manifest, but that was their first time. And the shock was too real on people's face. This lady, different things will be going on in their mind. Maybe somebody is intending to propose. Maybe you cooked Indomie together yesterday. You know, so many things will be coming to mind, right? And so I got about three or four people, and I told them that we are going to burn this lady's chaff. Not saying it in that word, but what I said was, we are going to be our best friends. Like, we know that she does not have a friend again. Like, she had probably been around for a while. But after that event, it was a vigil. After that event, we knew it has just started. It didn't end. And so we decided to, because we knew what happened, and we know what people would do. Because of what happened, then we now decided to be our best friends. So we're literally looking out for her, you know, reaching out to her, and we're doing with care too, because come out to your manifest. His book, most of us knew, and we had Holy Ghost, but that was a bit above what we knew. And so we had to stay true to her. To ensure that Jesus will perfect this burning the chaff. Else, she would live in the regret of her past, even though she has been delivered. So even when some of us were privy to, I know this person now. Now we did run the show then. Now, when Jesus comes and separates the wheat from the chaff, he still has a plan to burn the chaff. And so because some of us witnessed the scene of that separation, you won't say, wait, better don't be yourself. Is it not you that, your weight that was 1 kg, after they removed the chaff, you became 0.5. We knew what you were. And when we saw the real stuff, we are not that amazing. No. We would behave very well to know that Jesus also intends to destroy the chaff. Now, another reason for the winnowing is because God also intends, particularly for us in the faith, God intends that we are able to lay aside. So the chaff here signifies weight, signifies things that are added to us that shouldn't be added to us. Like I said, there's an admonishment that is given to us, lay aside every weight that easily and sin that easily beset. Peter says, you know, we should also lay aside all malice, all evil speaking, all deceit. But we know that he is the one that can cause the separation. Yeah. That's what makes it the work of grace. Else, it will be you being legalistic or practicing morality. And like I said, those who have practiced morality to the highest order, they are yet to be made priest to God. They've not offered one sacrifice to God. God has not desired a sacrifice from them. So you can see the work of grace in our life, not just at the point when we were saved, but every time he appears. Every time he appears. When we say, come Lord, come Lord, come Lord, come Lord, we are your people, come Lord. He's coming with his operations too. We'll be able to identify deceptions, and then we would have the grace to release them. But you are not releasing them and still having this fear. You know, at times, there are things you drop, you feel like they will still catch up with you. No, he says he will burn those chaff with unquenchable fire. That's the expectation that we should always have when God causes a separation to be in our lives. And you have new abilities, but you are not in the fear that, this is my former ability can. No. He destroyed them in an unquenchable fire. It's as close as it's like lake. That's where he threw it. The fire that cannot be destroyed. That's unquenchable. You can't destroy the fire. And so as a people of God, true liberty for us is not just that we were separated or something was taken out of us. It's that even that which was joined to us that caused us to be ineffective, after it had been separated from us, was completely destroyed. No evidence. This is how the people of God can really be the people of God. Else, there will be people of God with the mindset that devil can still come for them. This is why I always tell people, you know, if you're a former cultist, if God does this with you, nobody can. You don't have any consequence. No, when we say no consequence. Yeah, that's what we're saying. It's because he has burnt all the evidences that could even be the conversation of the consequence. So that's why you would tell the one that has had a very horrible past that you can literally have a life that looks as though that past never happened. This is grace. Because we can't do this ourselves. The best some of us can do for ourselves is to wish that they separate it. And maybe there's a constant reminder once in a while that, hope you know this is where you're coming from, this is where you're coming from. No. But the way he deals with us is as though that past never happened. And this is how you can really serve God. Imagine, you had a past that wasn't so good. You want to serve God. Because you'll be feeling that, how I wish, maybe I can serve God better if this thing didn't happen. No. God takes that experience, causes there to be separation. This is why we always pray that anyone who is hurt should go through this experience. Because when you are done with this experience, it's as though you didn't have that hurt. Like, it's as though the person that brought the hurt, you yourself, like, that sin, that event never happened. No, you can't do that to yourself. When he says, your sin, I remember no more. That's what this is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we look forward to his coming.
Yes.
And we know that when he comes, the possibility of a changed man is clear here. You know, it's not a probabilistic thing that, when he comes, maybe he might change his mind. No, when he comes, he comes to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes.
And our own expectation as well is also set in place. You know, when he comes, that's the prayer of David. David knew that he can't search himself. Even though, who would say, literally, if you were close to David, you would say, tema barai soro. Like, literally, the things he did were too physical, were too obvious. Who takes another man's wife and says, God, search me? You knew what you did now. And you're saying, God, you search you. Oh, guy, you're deceiving yourself. We literally tell him that, talk to yourself. Because what he did were too obvious. It was too, like, it wasn't like he dreamt of taking Bathsheba in the heart. Then he killed Uriah in the heart. No, then nothing, God, search my heart. Oh, guy, your hand. Yeah, that's what we would tell him if we were counselors to him. Yeah, we tell him to. But he knew that, see, he can literally take himself out of it. But he knew that he would still be in that place. That thing is still joined with him.
Yes.
Wow. So until he comes, there will not be a separation. See, this is the reason why many people try to stop stuff, maybe habits and all those things, and it doesn't go. Because he didn't come. I mean, you tried your power. He didn't come. Grace didn't come. He didn't appear. He didn't come with the fire and with washing. Because if he comes, you will not just feel relieved. It will be as though it never happened. Now, that's like too good to be true. For some of you, like, at least let him just take it away. It's better. But no. It doesn't do to your taste. It's not sad. Because when he wants priests to appear before Zion, it's not priests that will, I'm a ex-convict. No. Or, we know this one. Oh, this one was formerly the head of the kingpin, blah, blah. No. When they stand in Zion to minister, there is no difference.
Yes.
See, this was the challenge that some people had in Malachi. When they now said, wait, we that we have been serving you all plain and clean, what's our own reward? See, grace is mysterious. I mean, like, hey, wait, how will all of us appear in Zion? We were righteous from our mother's womb. Can you look for that place in Malachi? It was contentional. They were like, no agbao. No, we no go agree. All of us will just be high priest like that. No, let the top priest and small priest. Can you find that place, please? It's at the later part of Malachi. They were really contending like, no, we don't understand this grace thing. No. It's cheat. Yeah, it's cheat. How will you say that someone that had a life that was filled with chaff before is also looking like somebody that never had one? You know, if you were the one that was no chaff at all, you like, God, let there be a little difference. Maybe one glory that we have that they don't have. That was what they were fighting for. Please go there. If you know where it is, please let me give it to this. My projector has hung. My projector man has hung. It's at the later part of Malachi. 3:14. Thank you, man of God. Wale and his commentary. You should write a commentary Bible. It will be very interesting. You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept your ordinance? Actually, it's in the same chapter we're reading now. Okay. You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? That we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. This is their own summary of their own life. Oh. They were not adulterers. They were not perjurers. Can you go back to that early part of Malachi? Where he was talking about, no, the, is it five? Yeah, so they were not sorcerers. These ones, they were literally in the holiest of all. They knew the tabernacles of God from their babyhood. But we are now saying sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, people who had all deceit, all malice, all evil speaking. Once they experience your refiner's fire, laundry soap, oditon, no. Let's go back to 14. That's what they're saying. No. He said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept your ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? 15. So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. God, they tempted you. He said, and they go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance. Now this is what God would do for those ones. This was like there were some show worries in heaven. They're like, we're not gonna grow. No. Don't say equity, don't say equity. Or don't say equality. I don't know what I mean. They now open book of remembrance for those ones. Now, the book of remembrance, I don't know whether we are ready to do this one tonight. So this book was opened for those who kept his ordinance. Those who were in his courts mourning. Now, the way some of us grew up to understand the book of remembrance is like, Laulu, come forward. 28th of June. What were you doing in the nightclub? Oh boy. You know, some of us are fearing this day, like, God will go. He has born the chaff. Oh boy. Some people need this book of remembrance. Yeah. Those would walk just. Those who followed his ordinances. Those who were martyred. Those who served God with their day. The book of remembrance. So that it's for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. There's a reward for that.
Yes.
It would even out the priesthood. But there will yet be a reward for those who have kept the ordinance. So that the one, you know, it's like, this is like a performance appraiser when they say bonus. Yeah. So, you know, that performance appraiser bonus, it helps some people to ginger. If they say there's no bonus, the one that is lazy will not want to come up. So, this is also an encouragement that once the chaff has been removed, bam, start pursuing ordinance of God. Start fearing the Lord. Start meditating. Perhaps there will be a book of remembrance for you. So the book of remembrance is not to, you know, like some people have been told, they will not play your life. I don't know where we got some of those things. You play your life like a video. You not see where you took the Maggi. You see where. Share of African magic. Oh my goodness. You know, and some of you, your life is like 772,000 hours. All of us will not be watching. Oh boy. And you know that 30 years out of your 50. You say, God, FBC times 4. God, fast forward here. Because you know you did things. You say, God, go ahead, fast forward. Skip. Oh boy. No. They don't have that time. Amen. Amen. Have you been blessed? Yeah. You know, what just happened to us this evening is we just experienced what it did before we started the service. There's some things I can say now. You might think I'm not even telling the truth. We give God praise, right?